Appreciate it.
Thank
All right.
You.
Our final agenda item is a briefing item on the Panhandle wildfires. Jeff, they lost seven.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, appreciate y'all having me. My name is Jeff Bonner. I'm a wildlife biologist in the Panhandle District, stationed out of Pampa. We're going to look at the fires, and then we're going to take a peek at some of the survey data from some of the surveys that we do. And then we're going to take a look at some photo points and see how that vegetation has responded over the last year. Before I go any further, I want to say that you're going to hear me say some positive things about wildlife habitat as a result of these burns and how it's going to be a positive thing for populations down the road. And I don't want that to be misconstrued that myself or the department in any way thinks that these wildfires were a good thing. Loss of life, property, ranches, fences, homes. By far, this is not a good thing, and we do not want another. March 12, 2006, we saw the biggest wildfires in recorded Texas history. That fire, that red area there, the areas that burned, that one there to the north is what's become known as the Border Fire. It's approximately 60 miles long and around 10 to 12 miles wide. The big fire to the south has become known as the I-40 Fire. It was around 50 miles long and around 15 miles wide. Both of those fires were burning on the same day at the same time. They consumed around 750,000 acres of grassland, riparian bottoms, and 80 to 90% of those fires of that country was consumed in a matter of hours, not days and hours. So some of our wildlife, certainly you remove 750,000 acres of prairie, you're going to have a pretty negative impact on ground nesting birds, a lot of the prairie species. For lesser prairie chickens, before the fire, I knew of 11 leks that had males present. Those of you who may not be familiar with prairie chickens, a lek is an area where the males gather up every spring and they dance and display and boom and try to get a girlfriend. And so they go to these same places every year. Before the fires, 11 leks in the area that burned had males present. In 2006, that was down to 6 leks. In 2007, this past spring, 7 of those leks had males present. Given the drought conditions that we're in, I can't really blame all that on wildfire, but certainly it had an effect. Beloved white-tailed deer that we've heard about all day today, we have a 15-mile spotlight drought that runs through Gregg County from the I-40 fire. 15 miles, all of it was burned. The year before the fires, we saw 26 deer, and the year after the fire, we saw 26 deer. And none of this is real scientific data. These are just some observation numbers from some of our surveys, but not an obvious giant impact on the whitetails. For pronghorn antelope, herd unit 15, which is located to the northwest of Pampa and Hutchinson County along the border fire, we actually saw a slight increase in antelope numbers. And herd unit 25, which is to the northeast of Pampa, we saw nearly a threefold increase in pronghorn numbers. And probably what we're seeing there is a combination effect of the drought that we were in as well as the effects of the fire. And the only place to get something green to eat around there for several months was in the burn area where that vegetation was trying to recover after the fires. Antelope that had huge home ranges didn't have any problem concentrating in there on that burn area, which just so happened to be where our survey lands. I set up 8 photo points in different types of habitat. I only brought y'all 3 examples today. A lot of folks can concept of the Panhandle as a flat, barren land, and that's far from the truth. We do have a diversity of habitats. Hard hit was our riparian areas and wooded areas. This particular series of photos that you'll see is along McClellan Creek in Gregg County. And basically I tried to get to every photo point and take a picture about once a month or so, and so we could see how that stuff responded. This is in March, just a few weeks after the fire. This would be in May, the first part of May, and there's a few little green sprigs coming up. This is in June, looking a little better. And remember that we were in really bad drought conditions. Not only, we hadn't had any meaningful rain since since the fall of 05. We had a really wet fall, I mean a really dry fall and a dry winter, dry spring of 06. And zero soil moisture, and then it continued to be dry throughout August. This is the same spot. This is in July. I'm going to back up one back to June. You see the grass there in the lower left, nice and green. In July, it's drying up. We got rain in August, and vegetation took off like crazy. And we got more rain in August and in September. By the first week of October, you can't hardly tell where you're at anymore. So if you'll indulge me, it's a lot of fun if you look at this fast. I'm going to continue to monitor these probably just seasonally. The every month thing was kind of wearing me out. This is at the end of this winter. This is into February. And this was last week, a year later. And the nice thing about this is you don't see anywhere as much bare ground. A great increase in plant diversity. A lot of the woody plants are resprouting and trying to come back as well. This next spot is in some sandhill country. It's dominated by little blue stems, some big bunch of grasses. And some sand shinnery. I threw this shot in so that you get some concept of what the country looked like. This is in the pasture where this photo point is. I didn't have ESP or the foresight to have pre-established photo points. But this will give you an idea of what it looked like before it burned. This is what it looked like after it burned. This is in March, and you can get the idea these fires were really vicious. A prescribed fire leaves a nice little patchy environment. This is nothing patchy about it. Here we are in May. This is almost two full months after the fire. You can see the effects of the drought. July, that sand shinery that you see growing, sand shinery loves a good fire, making you sprout like crazy. The problem is the grasses are sitting around waiting on some rain before they do anything. In the meantime, the brush has deep roots and has moisture and gets growing on top of the grass, which is kind of the opposite of what you actually want to do in range management. In July, very dry, shinery actually turned to dry, shucking its leaves. August finally got some rain, at least greened up some. We got a few weeds growing, and at the end of the growing season in October. This is at the end of winter, and you can see if I bounce back and forth, you can see the amount of bare ground that came up at the end of winter. And this was last week in May. Green, very diverse. Also rich in annual weeds, very good for quail, very good for prairie chickens, very good for white-tailed deer. I have seen a very big loss of the big bunch grasses, which is going to be really bad news for those ranchers trying to make a living grazing cattle. My last point, this is in Hutchinson County, just north of Skellytown. Those hills you see in the background are some sand hills, and you can get a feel for the wind erosion. If you look at those sandy stripes back there on the horizon on those hills, they're looking to the south, so you're looking at you're looking to the south, so you're looking at the north face of those sand hills. And with no vegetation anywhere for a couple of months, the sand and the strong south winds piled sand up. And so to see how long it took for those to revegetate, you can watch those sand strips start disappearing throughout the year until you get to October. And there's just a few patches left. To look at it right now, if you go down the highway and look at it horizontally, it looks pretty good. You get out in it and look down on it, lots of bare ground, lots of bare patches. It still has a good ways to go. It's pretty strong looking right now for wildlife. But again, if you're trying to make a living grazing cattle, you're taking some on the chin. So, depending on precipitation, amounts, and timing, which right now we're in outstanding shape. The panhandle has had a lot of moisture. We've been sloppy wet since November. We even had 3/4 of an inch last night. Things are growing great. You can see how green and pretty it was last week, and that's hopefully going to continue throughout the growing season. I would expect populations to be better within 2 to 5 years. If the rainfall continues like that, I don't think it'll take near that long, except for our riparian areas. It just takes a while to replace the gargantua cottonwood tree. And that's all I have. Some will, yes, sir. I have seen lots of the cottonwoods re-sprout, and I've also seen some of them that are just dead in the doornail. Okay, very good. I'll tell everyone keeping an eye on you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, why don't we have a detailed review of the land and water plan before we return? Sure, that's a great idea, Montgomery. Anything else, Mr. Kitt? He can do one by himself.
I believe that's all we have, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. We are adjourned.
Appreciate it.